Okay, so this is the book of Romans. Grace and peace to you. Romans lesson number 79. And this is called A Measure of Faith. So this is the second part where I broke off last week. Sometimes I get a little overzealous in certain areas. I think I'm going to cover more than I do, but praise God. Jesus hasn't come back yet, so, you know, we're still all right. We're in Romans chapter 12, of course, and we're talking about this section from Romans 12 through 16 that is about us applying the Word of God in our life, that we are living out the Word. It's one thing to know who we are and understand all of that about salvation, which we will never understand all about it until we are present with the Lord. But there's also our fulfilling the will of God in ministering in this earth. And so God's will has been fulfilled in a sense in us through the new birth, but there's a lot for us to demonstrate, to prove, or to live out in this world. And that's what Paul talks about, this offering our bodies as a living sacrifice, that we might make demonstration, it says, of all of the will of God, perfect, acceptable, and good. And so God's will demonstrated through our life is how the world sees us and how we relate with the world that is around us. And so the word of God gives us instruction, and that's really where the material in these next number of chapters takes place. As I've said already in Paul's letters, it's common for him to start off with doctrinal truth and then goes to practical truth. And so we can see that break in Galatians. We can see it specifically in Ephesians. We can see it in Philippians and in Colossians. And so there, this understanding who we are is important, but then living it is another thing. And so that is the basis for where we are. Let's begin in Romans chapter 12. I'm going to start in verse 3. And so Paul says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment," or literally sober thinking, "each according to a measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith," and then he moves on from there. So next week we'll be taking up these various, sometimes called motivation gifts or body gifts, and so we'll be talking about that, which is about your place in the body of Christ. Fulfilling your place, then God gives you the grace to be that, but he also gives you the faith to draw from that. And that's what we're looking at in this passage tonight. In order for us to make proof of the will of God, we need to draw from God's divine ability. It can't be us. We can't save ourselves. Neither can we live out the Christian life in our own strength. And one of the great issues that we must come to is acknowledgement not only of our abilities that we've been given through this great work of salvation and what God has done in us and these wonderful things that God has given, but also our limitations. We cannot be everything. We cannot do everything. And no one is equipped to fully function without the rest of the body of Christ. That's the way we've been created. Now, I know, hypothetically, someone's going to throw out to me, "All right, so suppose you're the only person on an island and you got saved," and it's like, number one, I hate hypotheticals. Number two, somebody wrote a Bible that you must have read from in order to get born again, or carved it on a palm tree before you got there, or wrote it in the sand, somebody's gift brought that to you. In fact, the man who's writing this letter that we're reading. All right, so no, we're not equipped to be everything that we need to be. And unfortunately, sometimes pastors fall into that, trying to be everything in the body of Christ. Believers fall into that, trying to be what they're not and be somebody else. And so they're looking at, they're trying to do this and trying to do that because they're doing it. So if they're doing it, then I should be doing it, you know. And so then we fall under the condemnation of others. Well, why aren't you doing this? Because I'm doing it. You should be doing it. And so there's many people who like to serve as the Holy Spirit, but they are not. Amen. I'll pause over talking about spouses. But anyway, so we often attempt to help direct other people, and it's okay if we're helping them to understand. But if we're helping to direct them, we may be wrong. And so I want to make sure that what I'm doing is I'm just helping people understand where they can be and what their gift can be. So as we look at this material, that's what we're really looking at, that we only have a measure of faith. We don't have all of it. We got a measure of faith. And so this measure of faith, which we'll be talking about here as we go along, it's about the gift that's in us. I have a measure of faith for the gift that's in me. I don't have a measure of faith for the gift that's in you. And you don't have a measure of faith for the gift that's in me. And so the measure of faith I have is to accompany the gifting that God has given me, the place that I am in the body of Christ. And we could roll into this many other things because it's all in the understanding of God. He knows your history. He knows your education. He knows your background. He knows where you live. He knows how he wants to use you. He knows the other people that you surround yourself with. And so God knows all of that, and he's working all of this. So he gave you these gifts, this gifting, so that you could be what he wants you to be in that place at this time. If I only could have lived back in the days of Paul, whatever, okay. But you don't. And you didn't. And you can't operate off of the way things worked through the church back then. You've got to operate out of the way things are working in the church today. We live in a world that is the world that it is. I don't know, that's a word salad there, but anyway. So we only have what we've got. We got to live with this. And I know there's not only pastors that try to be everything. There's pastors that wish they had other this, and that we just had that, and we just had this person or whatever. You know what? You need to realize what you have and train them. And I'll talk a little bit about that tonight, because that's not really in the context of all, but we will get to that. So, Romans 12, verse 3. We talked about the word think that occurs over and over in this verse. By the grace given to me, what was the grace given to Paul? He was an apostle, right? So the apostleship, the position that he stood in, the anointing of God that was on the apostle Paul to teach and proclaim and to tell and to write things and to actually say things that no one had ever heard before and say them with authority. And for him to say, all right, now I've said that, now everybody else follow it. Wow, that's yike. That's putting yourself out on the line, isn't it? But Paul did that, Ephesians chapter 3. He's very bold about it. He said, the things I'm telling you, even the angels haven't understood. Oh, Paul, aren't you just going a little bit too far there? No, because he's writing under the inspiration of God, and he wouldn't have written that if God hadn't inspired him to write it. So Paul says, by grace given to me, I say to everyone, so this applies to everybody. This is not just for certain people in the body of Christ. This is not just for those who are, quote, called to the ministry. It's not just for those who, you know, want to do something in the church. This is for all the people who don't want to do something in the church, along with all the people who want to do something in the church. It's for those people who say, I don't need the church. I don't need to belong to a local body. I'm part of the universal body of Christ. Yes, you are, but you also need a local church. Because you don't have connections with other people to assist, not only assist you. Why should I need other people? I don't need other people. You're thinking more highly than you ought to think, right? So Paul says, don't be arrogant. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think, reason it out, come to a conclusion that has application, think it out, with sober thinking. Now, your translation may say sound-mindedness, sound thinking, sound judgment, but literally the Greek word is sober thinking, and it draws from that word thinking again, same word used five times in the verse. Each according to a measure of faith. So each one of you think soberly. All right, that has nothing to do with having a little bit too much tequila. All right, that's not the sober he's talking about. He's talking about reasoning in your mind really being level, and think this through. I can't do it myself. Well, bless God, I can do all things through Christ. No, you can't. No, you're taking that verse totally out of its context, because you can't do all things. You can't fly without being in a metal tube of some kind, right? So there's all kinds of things you can't do by yourself. And one of those is operate in the body of Christ. And you need to learn this position, because you cannot fulfill the will of God if you're not doing this. Because this is the very first thing that Paul talks about. If us making demonstration of the will of God in our life, the first thing he talks about is your place in the body of Christ. So before we get to all those other things that are in chapter 12 through 16, he says you better find out, first of all, where you belong, and understand where you belong, and understand you can't do it without other believers, and they can't do it without you. Right. And so this is an important and integral part of the life of the believer. So don't think of yourself more highly, but think soberly, each one of you, according to a measure of faith that God has assigned. So this is to some people it's a controversial phrase, because they've taken it to apply to a way that it doesn't apply. So first of all, according to a measure. In the Greek language, there's a thing we call an article. It's the Greek word ha, H-O. And that word does not occur here. The word ha means the, or specific. And so I'll get to that a little bit more in a minute. But it's according to a measure. It's not there. And so you have a measure of faith. Not the same one everyone has. Not the same one that anyone else has. Because even if you say, well, I'm a prophet, he's a prophet, she's a prophet, whatever, all the royal prophets, we all have the same. No, you don't, because you're different people. You're different ages. You have different backgrounds. You have different other skills in your life, different education. And so there's all these things. God knows more than you. Can I just say that and not offend you? God knows more. He knows how to do this. And so he's going to give you a measure of faith that is necessary to operate the gifting, the place in the body that he has assigned you. It's way too simplistic, but God has given your ear the measure of faith to be an ear. Your ear does not have the measure of faith to be a foot. I know, that's way goofy and cartoonish, but it just hit my head, then there it is, you got it now. Okay, so you deal with it and make your drawing. Sarah, I expect a drawing of this by the end of class, thank you. Okay, but so too often what people look at this is the measure of faith. Well, we all need a measure of faith to get saved, right? So God gave us faith to get saved, and we all have to have the measure of faith to get saved. So everybody has the same measure. No, they don't. Because that's not the subject here. He's not talking about salvation. And yes, we all received the measure of faith to be saved. By grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. And so God gives us faith so that we can exercise salvation. Anyone can believe because that measure of faith has been given. And they say, well, I don't know how to be saved. Well, that's what I'm here for. Right? I'm here to tell you how to be saved. So, but this is not the measure of faith for salvation. That's not the subject. It's not the context. The context is living out the salvation that we have. You're already saved. So now he's going to talk about some kind of measure of faith that is going to be given to you that has to do with you after being saved. And so, what is this measure of faith? It doesn't apply to salvation. And it is not the subject. It is a measure, not the. And actually, in the Greek, there's no a. It's just, there's no article. So it just says, has given to each measure of faith. Not ha measure of faith or the measure of faith. So I've got a little note down there, a couple of bullet points. The presence of the Greek article ha, H-O, would indicate a singular specific measure that would be present for everyone. It is the measure of faith. It's like, I've got this, hand me that ruler there. So here's this, Herb brought me this. This is a cubit. So from here, bottom of this ruler, to here is the cubit at the time of Moses. So that was a cubit. That doesn't measure my arm because it doesn't fit. I'm short. Some of you would be long. Some of you would be way short. So, but this is the measure of a cubit. Really? Whose arm did they use? That's what I want to know. But anyway, so there's a specific thing. It's just like a ruler. It's 12 inches. Well, I want my ruler to be 13 inches. No, you can't have a ruler that's 13 inches. This is, the ruler is, the foot is the measure of the foot. All right. So the measure means one that is for everyone. But in this sentence, it doesn't say the measure of faith. It's just measure of faith. And therefore, the meaning of this, when it is absent, it indicates each one has received a measure that has been assigned, because that's what it says. We've all received a measure of faith assigned by who?
God.
By God. That God has assigned. So each of us has a measure of faith that God has assigned. Last week I used the illustration of Rick Renner being called to Latvia in the middle of the winter time with his kids moving over there, you know, and then Randy and Kathy moved over there too. I'm saying I don't think they should do that because I don't have the faith to do that. And if I don't have the faith to do that, bless God, they shouldn't. Right? And so my evaluation of whether Rick, Denise were called to Latvia in the middle of the wintertime is dependent on my seeing myself able to do that. And I can't. So therefore, they can't. See, I'm evaluating their gift based on my faith. But you can't do that. they have the measure of faith to go along with it. I said, Rick, how are you going to do that? I'm going to believe God. That's nuts. That's crazy. You can't believe God for that. Tell Peter when he was walking on the water. You can't do that. He had to measure faith to walk. I know he fell, but he sank, but he still walked further than I ever have. So if God gives you a gift, he gives you a measure of faith to bring it about. Now, on the back page, of your notes, I put a little statement there. I've said these things before, but I don't know that I've ever really just written it down like this. But grace and faith. Just think of grace and faith. Grace is Christ's power given to overwhelm our weakness or inability. That's what his grace is. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. My grace is sufficient, or my grace is an overwhelming surplus. An overwhelming surplus. For what? For in my power is released in your weakness. So when God defined, when Christ defined grace, he defined it by his power. My grace is sufficient for my power. And so, grace is God's power, his power to overcome our sin. That's the grace for salvation. His power to overcome sickness, healing. His power to overcome our lack, provision. His power to overcome trouble and turmoil in our life, his peace. Right? So, whatever is a grace is God's power released for our weakness. So that's why Paul says, I'm going to glory in my weakness. I'm going to look for every weakness I have so that I can draw from the grace of God. I want to draw upon his power. And so if we think of grace as power instead of just some innocuous thing that is out there. So that's grace. What is grace? It's like a fluffy cloud, blown over. What? No, it's power. Grace is power. God's power, his ability to overcome some kind of inability that we have. And so when Paul talked about the grace given him, his apostleship, he's talking about this didn't come from him, this came from God. And so grace is Christ's power given to overwhelm a weakness or inability. Faith is the gift God has given to draw from that grace. And I've used this before, but grace and faith are two sides of a coin. Grace comes from God. Faith is us. We believe or have faith for what God gives by grace. If God gives it by grace, we receive it by faith. And so whatever God's grace is received in our life by faith. And so in these giftings to the body, we're going to talk about next week, these giftings to the body, five different giftings to the body, you draw upon them by faith. Now, here's the thing. If God gave you the grace, then he's going to give you the faith to draw from that grace. Amen. So that you can do this. What God offers by grace, we receive by faith. Okay, go back to your first page now. And so, each one of us, each one is given a measure of faith according to what God has assigned, right? A measure of faith that God has assigned. And this measure of faith is according to what God has assigned. And this is the place where I need to draw from the grace that God has given me. But here's my big problem. I don't know. Somebody finish the sentence for me. I don't know what it is. I don't know what my grace. I don't know what it is. I'm in the body, but I don't know what I am. And so this is part of, and we'll get to this later, but I'll only very briefly, this is part of the responsibility of the fivefold ministry gifts. Because the fivefold ministry gifts are there to perfect the saints. That is, mend, heal, restore, build up, complete. The fivefold ministry are there to help you understand your gift and how to use it. And that's part of their responsibility in the body of Christ, is helping the believers understand who they are, overcome their hurts, their lack, teach them, lead them, show them, correct them, discipline them, all those things that Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4. Again, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Okay, so the measure that God has given is determined by him. He chose that. You didn't. He didn't say, okay, how many want to be, you know, the prophecy branch in the body of Christ? How many want to be the teaching side? How many want to be the giving side? Because to be an overgiver, which is what the Greek word is, an overgiver, you have to be an over a money maker. Because you can't overgive if you don't have money to give. All right, so I want that one. I'll line up for that one. Yeah, but are you going to give it if God gives it to you? Oh, that's... Well, after I buy this and buy that and do all this stuff, you know, win the lottery and bankrupt in 6 months. So whatever. We don't sign up for these gifts. God assigns them. And that is where we then come to the bottom of your page, that God has assigned, and the implication is to them. All right, that's a inflected pronoun. All right, so God has assigned to them. You have a measure of faith according as God has assigned you. Now, the Greek word for assigned, look at that at the bottom of your page. It's a Greek word, merizo. It comes from merismos, which means to divide. Merizo, to divide, to separate things, to divide among, or to distribute. In this verb form, it means to distribute to each one, as God has assigned, or distribute to each one. Remember the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus broke the bread and gave it to the disciples to what? To do what? To distribute each one. And so they were to give loaves and fishes to everyone. Now, I don't know how you break a fish. I haven't come up with that yet. Squishy and floppy and I don't know. Or maybe they were crispy. I don't know. Just break off. I don't know. I'm lost on that, but, you know, I would prefer Chick-fil-A. But anyway. But God has assigned, or divides up, separates severally. And so this is according to his way, separate into different parts. And so this measure of faith is given according as God has assigned, or as he's broken it up into the individual parts. So every one of you have a gifting in the body of Christ, and you have the faith that God has assigned to you to operate your gifting. Now, we're not talking about the gifts of the Spirit. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But this is what God has given to us. Now, each one of us belongs to the body. And so we have been placed within the body. This passage in Romans 12 is very close to Paul's 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And so... They, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is much longer, much more in depth. Interesting thing. 1 Corinthians 12 was written about 3 years before Romans 12. And many of the people who were in Corinth when Paul wrote the letter to them are now in Rome. So there's an understanding in Rome, or there should be, by the teachers that are there, Priscilla, Aquila, some others, some of the leaders, we were leaders of the church in Corinth, are now in Rome. And so there should be some understanding of their place in the body. And so Paul just explains it in just a couple verses, whereas in 1 Corinthians, he takes about 20 verses to talk about the body and the ear and the hand and the eye and right, you know, all of those things he brings up. So the verb used here means it's done. As God has assigned, it's done. When was it done? All right, top of your next page. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. When was this assigned to me? When was I assigned the gifting and a measure of faith to go along with it? 1 Corinthians 12, 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jew or Greek, slave or free, and are all made to drink of one Spirit. So that almost sounds like I'm reading from Romans chapter 12. Except that he adds here the fact that we've been all baptized into one body. What body? Whose body? The body of Christ. When were you baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ? When you got born again. The day that you believed in Jesus Christ, you were baptized into his body by the Spirit. That's not your water baptism. That's not your baptism in Christ and resurrection from the dead. This is the Spirit baptizing you or immersing you into the body of Christ, or we would better say placing you into the body of Christ. And from 1 Corinthians 12, then he goes on in verses 12 through 31. He goes on to talk about your place in that body and that we've all been assigned these various places, and it is the Spirit who is operating within us, and some of you are eyes and some are ears and some are noses and some are feet and some are toes and whatever, right? He doesn't go that much detail. But what Paul is doing is he's looking at the body and he's saying, look, the body has many parts. So if we're all part of the body of Christ, then we all got different parts. Or he's got different parts, and we're all members of that part somewhere. We belong within that body. Where are you? I don't know. Paul doesn't assign, okay, this group of people are, you know, the pituitary glands. And this group of people over here are the tonsils. Ooh, tonsils, wrong choice. A lot of people remove those. That's not a good idea. So, okay, anyway. But we're all assigned different places. He's just using an analogy, right? Don't try to make too much out of this. It's not certain people that are a hand and somebody else it's an eye or whatever. Don't see it that way. Though he says, you know, the what does the hand have to do with the eye and the eye have to do with the foot? You know, he goes on through all this. Don't get into the what it is. Get into the difference. That's the issue. You're not the same. And you're not the same by God's design. You don't belong to the same work. You belong to the same body, but you don't do the same work. That's what I wanted to say. You don't have the same function, which is a word he's going to use in just a minute. So this parallel passage, when we were saved by faith in Jesus Christ, we were immersed or placed within the body of Christ and assigned a function as God determined. This function is also called a grace because God gave it, right? And so it's a grace from him is our function, and accompanying the function comes the what? The measure of faith to do it. In other words, your hand has the measure of faith to be a hand. It doesn't have the measure of faith to be an ear. And so it's just, Paul is just using a human body as an analogy. And the grace that you need to be what you are accompanies the gift. Grace and faith. But here's the thing with faith. Faith is something you have to use. You have to draw from it. You have to draw from this. So the grace may be there. And you may begin to understand where you belong in the body of Christ. But it's a measure of faith, which means something that you have to exercise. a measure of, can I put it in another way, believing. Because faith and believing are the same thing, right? It's a measure of believing. And so I have to start believing that I belong to the body of Christ, and this is the position that God has given me. How do I use this? How do I draw from God's abilities? Well, again, God has assigned fivefold minister, pastor, teachers, evangelists, etc., to teach us, to complete us, to mend, repair, to help us understand who we are and what we need to do in the body of Christ. So that is part of their function. Right? So each one has this position, and they have the faith to accomplish the position that God has put them in. The function includes the grace and the ability to fill our function. All right. We are one, but we're different. Verse 4 and 5, top 30 of your page 2. For as in one body we have many members, we could say that. How many members? Oh my goodness. Billions, right? Billions, just like billions of cells. In one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. Not even your cells have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of another. One of another. Okay. I heard a teacher one time use this phrase, and so I've copied this. You, it's written there in green, you are gifted to be you. You can't be someone else. God has created you to be unique, one of a kind. If you try to be someone else, you can't be. God already has one of those. That's on page 2 in the green. God has one of those. So you can't be, you know, I could say I want to be Ruth Ann. But God says you can't be. Because I already got one of those. And she's going to be Ruth Ann, and you're going to be Jeff. But I don't want to be me. Well, then whatever my position is in the body of Christ is empty. It's empty. Nobody's doing it. Because God's not going to assign someone else to be my position. That makes sense?
Yep.
So I go on. God already has one of those. But when you don't want to be you, to be the you God created, you rob God and others of the uniquely gifted person God made you to be. So, if we're trying to be someone else we can't be, but we're not being ourselves, and so that person is missing. That gifting is missing from the body. And so this is how important it is for us to understand. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. First of all, don't think you don't need the rest of the body. And second of all, don't think you're too good to be a part of the body. You need to be involved. Because if you're not using your gifting within the body, then the body is missing you. So Paul goes on. In one body there's many members. We don't have to enlarge too much on that. Paul covers that again in detail in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 31. Specifically, over and over he covers that. All right. And like I wrote down here, I already said this, but the people in Corinth who had sat under Paul, who are now in Rome, have probably shared some of this truth with the believers in Rome, and Paul probably knows that because he knows Priscilla and Aquila are there, and he knows a couple of other, the leaders of the church are now in Rome, and so he knows that they would have shared or taught the things that he had taught to the Corinthian believers. Middle of page. We do not all have the same function. Let's look at this word function. We don't all have the same function. In one body, many members, and these members do not all have the same function. The function for your finger and the function for your ear are totally different. And so it is that we have different functions. The function, the Greek word for function is praxis, from which we would say practical usefulness. So praxis is practical usefulness, or it can be translated to business. This is your business. This is the business that God has given to me. Not business as a building, but business as a function. This is what I do. This is what I am. This is my function. And so the parts don't all have that same function. They can't replace one another. Your red blood cells cannot replace, you know, the skin cells. And they can't do that. And the skin cells on your hand can't replace the skin cells on the bottom of your foot. They wouldn't work. And so there are things that are more necessary. Everybody finding their place in the body. And so the same manner, not every believer is graced with the same abilities, nor does every member have the same faith to exercise them. You have the faith to exercise what? Your gifting. You have the faith to exercise your gifting. We're not talking about faith for salvation or faith to be healed or faith to trust the word of God. This is faith to draw upon and use the gifting that God has given you. That's specifically the subject of this passage. And so though we are many, we are one. Members, one of another. That phrase is so important. You belong to other people. You're members, one of another. It's not just that you need them. They need you. And when we're busy outside trying to be more than we are, or not wanting to be what God has assigned us, or thinking more highly than we ought to think, or thinking more lowly than we ought to think, and we're not fulfilling our place, the body is robbed of you. And so the more we understand who we are and what gifting God has given us, the better we'll be able to fulfill these positions. All right? Bottom of your page. This is God's design. Romans 12, verse 6 says, having therefore gifts differing according to the grace given to us. Who gave it to us? God gave it to us. So the grace given to us. So this grace comes with a faith, right? Grace comes with a measure of faith to draw upon the grace that is given. The grace is the ability. The faith draws upon that gift. Basically, it says, having therefore gifts differing according to the grace given to us, use them.
Amen.
That could be my invitation. Right now, amen, altar call. Use them. Use these gifts. Now, he's going to go into each one of these, of if prophecy, then he goes on to that. And so the five giftings that he's going to bring up, but we'll talk about those next week. So think soberly about this. That's the subject of this whole passage here, thinking soberly. Think soberly means thinking responsibly of how I may use my grace gifting to be a blessing to others, to be a part of this body, to share with the other believers in the body, to share with other members in the body, to help the church to grow, to help the church to fulfill its function. Because the church is the body of Christ, and we are the body. His body is in the earth. Is that true? In who? Us. We are his body. So, having then gifts. The word having means have is a reality. This is something that you have. It's done. It's been given. It's over in the Greek language. This is a settled fact. It is a reality of position. You have this gift. It was given when? We talked about that. When was it given? Salvation. At your salvation. When you were placed within the body of Christ, you were assigned a position. I don't want to be here. I don't need someone else. I'm going to move over there. Well, God won't let you move someplace else in the body of Christ. Pastor Bob used to talk about people that float around from church to church. Please don't be offended. But he sometimes referred to them as blood clots. Floating around in the body of Christ. until they finally lodged in place, and then they caused damage. I never said that. All right. I never said that. I'm just quoting someone else. He's not here tonight. But he'd be laughing about that. Some call them charismatic frogs, jumping from place to place, you know, whatever. But if we don't ever place ourselves where we belong, we'll never be used. And the people that need you won't have you. You say, well, that doesn't matter. I'm after me. Well, we need to get stop being after me. I need to be here for you. So I need to participate in the church. I need to participate in the different functions of the church and the different needs of the church. I need to participate in the worship service of the church. I need to hear you sing, because sometimes I don't feel like singing. But when I hear you sing, then you stir me up to faith. And pretty soon, I'm singing. So, if you don't like singing, don't stand around me. Because I sing loud. I just do. And get over it. So, because we're all supposed to minister one to another. And that's one of the ways that we minister one to another. Singing psalms and hymns and church songs. Singing, making melody in your heart. To the Lord? No, one to another. One to another. And so we sing one to another. Yeah, Jesus hears it, and that's good. And he's the direct, you know, the object. That's the word I was heard. He's the object, but you're the one that hears it. Now, when Paul uses this phrase, having gifts, I'll go to the top of your next page. This is not the charismata. This is not the gifts of the Spirit found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 6 and on, well, verse 4 and on, verses 4 through 11. This is not about the charismata. And so those are grace. They're actually grace operations. That's why we better translate the word grace gifts. But it's actually grace operations, charismata. And we hear that before, and so they just put another couple letters on there and call us charismatic, right? Charismatic. That means operating the grace gifts. Now, we call these the gifts of the Spirit. It's chapter 12. There's 9 gifts of the Spirit. But there's 5 gifts in the body. 7. Seven gifts in the body and 5 ministry gifts. It's down at the bottom of your page, Jeff. Look at your page. So there are these 7 body functions that we are all placed in. 7 function gifts. But the gifts of the Spirit are different. The gifts of the Spirit are as the Spirit desires, as He wills at the moment. It is for an instant and it's gone. It is not you carry this around with you. It is not something that is yours to use when you want. It's as the Spirit wills. Now, the more we begin to operate in this area, the more we will recognize when God is speaking to us, and we'll be willing to stand forth and give words. But these gifts of the Spirit are there. But that's not the subject of this passage. That's not the gift he's talking about in Romans 12. These gifts, he says, differ, or they are different by separation, distinct one from another by purpose or design. The Greek word differ is the Greek word diaphorus. And diaphorus means different one from another by design. They're not just different because they're different. They're different because they're designed to be different. Red is not yellow. It's a different design. Yeah. cloth is not wood. It's a different design. And so also within the body of Christ, these gifts that God has given us, we all belong to one body, and though our gifts, there's one body, our gifts differ according to the grace given. God's grace has assigned you to be this, and it is by design that you're different. It's not by accident. It's not because you want to be different. It's by God's design that we're different. And God has made it to be this way, just like in the physical body, the parts are different by design, not by accident and not by evolution. Okay. Now I'm off onto a whole other subject, but I will pass on from that, right? It is the intelligence of our Creator. He made us to be what we are. I love watching nature programs. Okay, I'm just going to jump into this. It's okay. I love watching nature programs, but I'd like to replace the voice of the guy that's talking. Because what are you talking about? That this shark wanted to live, at 3,000 feet below sea level, or below the sea, right? It's like, how did he just decide to go down there? I'm going to design myself to be different so I can live down there. Or these birds with, I'm going to have this color on my wing, but right below it, it's going to be this color. And then around the back of me is going to be this color because I think that's the way I want to look. But I can't even dress myself that well, right? So the thing, we can't be what we want to be in nature anywhere we can be in the body of Christ. We're different by God's design. And this is the way he made us to be. They differ, diaphorus. They differ, they're separate by design. They're meant to be this way. And they can't be exchanged. You can't replace this with that. No, I know. People that are blind, they learn to read by feeling. That's incredible. But that's not what their fingers are designed for. That's what their fingers have learned. And that's okay. Because that has helped them. But that's not what the fingers were designed to replace the eyes. And so it is with people in the body of Christ. You're designed to be this. And you got to be it. But I don't know how to be it. We'll talk about that. Okay. So these giftings are according to the grace that has been given. The word according to in the Greek language is the word kata, K-A-T-A. And it's the Greek preposition that has to do with down, but when it's used in a phrase, it means under the influence of. So we're different by design. They differ under the influence of the grace that is given. You see that? Kata, according to or under the influence of. So what made them different? God's grace. His grace makes them different. They are different according to the grace that is given. So they're different because this is how God wanted them to be. Grace is what? God's power made effective in our life. God's grace working and operating through us. His abilities overcome what we couldn't be. He makes us. People ask me sometimes, so a person that's not saved, has God assigned them a place in the body? I don't know. I've thought that through. It's like, well, as soon as they get saved, they get placed in the body. So you see unsaved people that have incredible gifts and incredible abilities. How would those be if they were placed within the body of Christ? And then now they come under the anointing of God. And so I don't know. I battle that both ways in my thinking. But I believe that all good things come from God. And if a person's gift is doing good for other people, whether they're saved or not, I believe the source has come from God. Of course, those gifts can also be perverted, twisted into undesirous, evil, cruel, horrible things. And so that can happen too. Okay, so this gifting, this grace that is given, this is the Lord's giving, it is his placing in the body of Christ. And the gifting comes with a grace to access it. That's called a measure of faith. The ability to access it is the faith that God gives to accompany the grace. Now, down at the bottom of the page, I just put this down here. I had no intention of teaching through this. So this is just here to show these three different things. So this gets confusing sometimes in people's minds, and because I'm also teaching for believers that maybe not, you know, belong to our church, you know, through the video series. There are 9 varieties of charismata. All right, so there are different charismata. Those are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. We call them gifts of the Spirit. The Greek language is just charismata. They are manifestations of the Spirit, and they are the utterance of wisdom, the utterance of knowledge, faith, healings, the working of miracles, prophecy, the discerning of spirits, that is, unholy spirits, and various kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. So those are the 12 charismata.
Nine.
I keep saying 12. Why do I say 12? Because it's chapter 12. I got 12s in my head. Okay. That's okay. I keep making the same one, though. These are given by the Holy Spirit for the common good. They're empowered by the Spirit who divides to each one individually according to his will. And we should zealously desire the best or the greatest gift for the moment. So of these 9, any one of them can operate in any one of us at any time.
Right.
As God wills. They're given as the Spirit wills. All right. Then the middle column is the 7 functions in the body of Christ. That's what we're looking at in Romans chapter 12. 7 functions. And you notice that they're not the same. You say, well, prophecy's in both, you know, but it's not the same thing. This is a function. And this is specifically what we're going to talk about next week, this middle column. So these motivations or body gifts, some people refer to them as motivational gifts. These are the function gifts in the body. They are prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, overgiving. I don't just say giving because all believers are called to give, but overgiving, leadership, and showing mercy. But then in the far right column are the ministry gifts, sometimes called the fivefold ministry gifts or the pulpit gifts. And these are the 5 gifts: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and also teacher. These are found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, and also 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. And these are given to the entire body. And their purpose is to mend, heal, repair, restore, finish out, complete the saints, so the saints can do the work of ministering. Middle column. And so these 5-fold gifts are given to help the believers find and operate in their position within that middle column of the function gifts. Is that making sense? And through all of this, the Holy Spirit can work his gifts anytime as he wills and as we are yielded. I believe many times God wants to speak, but we're not ready. Or we don't want to. Or we are afraid. Get over it and do it. Okay. Altar call. All right, so next week we're specifically going to talk about this issue of these different ways that God wants to minister. There's a place for you. That's the point. In all of these things, God desires to operate these gifts through you. But he also desires for you to find your place and draw from his grace. How? Through a measure of faith that he's given to you. And you can draw on this to be that place, that gifting that God has created you to be. Amen. So, Father, we thank you.